to manage property from abroad. So, yeah. Well, from my point of view, for Minpaku, I actually work with a number of clients who are nomads, so they have property here, they have property in other places. So when they come to Japan, they stay in their own house as a furnished property. When they're abroad, they have the property management and also the additional income that I earn for them when we do a profit share. And also they get the benefit of having it cleaned regularly, having the mail picked up and all of those things. So that's for short-term rental. What about for long-term investment? And that's you.
Yeah, so we try to bridge that gap for long-term investors. If you're specifically operating in an area that's internationally renowned, there could be one, two, three property management companies that could service you as a non-resident foreigner. But usually, like I mentioned in my presentation, these would be more rare. So what we do is we help people, if they're holiday home owners who are not renting the property out short term, then we help them just organize regular airing and cleaning, gardening, landscaping, repairs, whatever the case may be. If they're investment properties, we'll liaise with local Japanese property managers on their behalf, collect their income, pay their expenses. I know that there are specific companies, again, that do that in particular cities, but I'm not really familiar with anyone that does it nationwide, except ourselves, Nippon Trading's International. But I would be very happy to hear if anybody else knows of any such. Any other questions from the Zoom? Yes.
What do you mean by short-term and long-term?
So long-term rentals are rentals where a tenant is actually living in the property on a two-year normal residential tenancy rolling kind of lease, which is normally the norm in Japan. Short-term rentals fall into medium-term and short-term. I'll let Tracy expand on that.
It's all in the glossary, if you're able to download that glossary, what the difference is between them. So short-term minpaku is anything from 1 to 29 days. Monthly mansions and weekly mansions are really a trade name, but that falls under the service department, and that's usually furnished. So and that's usually a fixed-term rent. Whereas chintai, unfurnished, 2 years, and is often non-fixed term, so it automatically renews, and it's a long conversation about tenancy rights and how to get people out of your property if you're returning. So fixed term versus non-fixed, short minpaku, medium term, which is service departments and others. So I hope that answers the question. They're handed at the local level, and service departments, so medium term, is handled by the land infrastructure and the national thing. And then chintai, I don't know because I don't do it.
There's a lot more compliance and hoops to jump through regulatory-wise when you're doing short-term rentals. Long-term rentals and medium-term rentals are just standard leases. Basically, nobody can forbid you from doing that legally. Yes?
You're not going to get any volume from that. So.
Okay, I'll speak loudly then. My question's for Anton. You mentioned that the project that you're working on now was 17 million purchase price, roughly around 8 million for the renovation. So you're going to be all in for 25 million. I'm just wondering, do you have an estimated or a guesstimated resale value at the end of this project, just to gauge whether or not a sort of renovation flip concept would work in Japan?
That's a very interesting question. I've been thinking about it. I don't think it will have a value if I would resell it, but it's caught my mind. Maybe I should try and resell it, but I don't think I could sell it for more than 25 million. If I would sell it, this will be a minpaku or a monthly rental in the end, and I think it will generate about maybe 5 million yen a year, would be my guess, which is about 20% ROI.
Okay, because the cash flow sucks.
What's the capital gain you would feel like?
Japan is generally not, I mean, capital gain has been occurring, but it's mainly a cash flow market if you want a strategy to bank on. If you can raise your value, it's great, but it should be treated as a bonus, I think, in the vast majority of cases, but to each their own. Yes, further questions? Yep.
Thank you all for your information. It's super helpful. If a foreigner non-resident living abroad wants to invest passively, what options are there that you would recommend, and what kind of dollar figure would you be looking at for like a minimum passive investment?
That's probably mine to answer. I think passive is a term that I don't really like to use because I don't think there is such a thing as real passive investment. You always have to make some decisions. There will always be stuff occurring that you'll need to attend to, even if not personally, but you need the mental bandwidth to deal with it. The least involved form of investment that I know would be condo units, because the monthly expenses are predetermined. You know exactly how much you're going to be. It's going to be costing you every month. You know exactly if you bought them tenanted. You know exactly what the rental income is that you're getting every month, and then really you only need to worry or think about what you're doing with the property if and when it becomes vacant, which is normally a matter of advertising more or less aggressively and placing a new tenant in there at a similar rent. Or slightly lower or slightly higher, but roughly you're going to be sticking around the same kind of yield from the get-go. And if and when building fees, maintenance fees rise beyond the level of comfort, then you just recycle it, sell it. It's a very active market. It's easy to sell in and buy something a bit newer and younger. So you're probably not going to be needing to make decisions more than once or twice or three times a year at most. That would be the most passive income, remote income that I can think of, which is vast majority of our customers.
Besides crowdfunding.
What's that?
Crowdfunding. The really most passive, especially if you don't have too much money, would be crowdfunding through real estate. But that's not available for everybody, so it really depends on where you're from and whether you trust. Then you can just, you can even put $100 in it. So it really depends. You can buy real estate through crowdfunding. So then you will be like 100 people owning the same building. It's usually done through blockchain. Yes, it is. So that's a whole different kind of level. But if you don't have too much money and you want some sort of a passive income through real estate, that it's something that you could look into.
One more form of passive investing that's related to real estate is REITs, right? Real Estate Investment Trust. Japanese REITs are very versatile. They're quite expensive compared to REITs around the world, but huge diversity. So some of them invest specifically in hospitality. Some of them invest in specific locations, in all kinds of... And really all you're doing is buying shares in a company and that give you projections, but also a history of how well they did. And that's probably even more passive than owning a property yourself, I would say. And you have the liquidity of being able to sell them and buy other ones whenever you want, but you can just keep them if you don't want to.
But as soon as you repatriate that money, that's income taxable in your own country.
Generally, for the kind of weird... For the weirdo stuff that I work with, generally speaking, and this is very ballpark, but if you're a if you have nothing to do with Japan, right, and you're definitely not living here, right, generally speaking, if you want a hard number, go from somewhere between 25 and 30 million yen, and that's for incorporation, that's for the purchase, that's for renovation, all of this stuff, and of course it's a very variable cost, but if you want to get started, generally what I advise is somewhere between 25 and 30 million yen.
So you were asking also about how much it costs to enter that market. So the locations and asset classes that we would recommend at the minimum level would be starting at 4 or 5 million yen would be a lot more comfortable if you could get it up to 8, 9 million yen. It'll get you a better quality property if you're purchasing an entire property on your own.
We didn't hear at all about resort properties. I know they come with some traps. Resort properties. Could someone care to comment about their knowledge and advice with resort properties?
We've actually been approached by a potential guest speaker, I haven't shared this yet, who would like to speak about resort properties at the next event. So we hopefully get somebody who knows a bit more than us. Resort properties for investment can be tricky because a lot of the owner unions in resorts will not allow you to do any kind of rentals, let alone short-term stay or medium-stay rentals, which is really what you want to get into if you're buying into resort properties. As owner-occupied holiday homes, they're great, except that they come with pretty hefty monthly fees. But for our customers who buy them, that still works out to be a lot cheaper than, you know, buying hotel rooms and accommodation every time they come to Japan. The only places that I know of where resort properties can be easily rented out are Niseko and some of the properties in Hakone, which are like international hotspots, and the gaijin community is very heavily entrenched in the local municipality. So there are entire resorts where short-term stays is not a problem. Okinawa as well. There are quite a few resorts there who have been designed specifically to be rented out short-term. But if you're buying something that was essentially a holiday home kind of resort property and has an owner union in place and these are all owner-occupied, you're going to have a very hard time leasing them out. But again, we're going to have people who specialize in that from the next event, I hope.
Do you get value out of the management fees? They at least take care of the place and give you peace of mind?
Yes, definitely. The management company does a good job. What you need to watch out for, and that's part of due diligence before you purchase them, is to make sure that, you know, sometimes half of the owners have already either passed away or just abandoned the properties and not paying the resort fees, and there's nothing in the reserve fund pool, and the next big renovation, no one's got anything to pay for. So you do your due diligence on management and how much they've got collected and how much the building fees are, and you try to project whether they'll go up or down, whether there's going to be debt involved or not. But if everything is managed properly, then yes, you have peace of mind and it's a good place. And you can, in most occasions, definitely let family and friends stay there when you're not using it. And definition of family and friends can be fairly liquid, right? So this is true. Yeah.
So I was wondering, like, for the Akiyas, like, what is the maintenance cost that you guys have to, you know, shell out for, like, let's say over a 10-year period, how much are you looking at spending on maintenance?
The stuff that I'm working with right now, generally it's like 40,000 yen a month, like not all that much. But that's not for like super duper fixer-uppers, right? And I mean, that's one of the major issues of the Akiya is like, well, what kind of Akiya are you buying? Is it a piece of garbage? Or is it just like an uninhabited thing that is actually in pretty decent shape? Like both exist and everything in between. So it totally depends. I know that's not like a great answer, but yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it really depends on what you're buying, like, and how you're using it and how you're renovating it. If you renovate it nice, maybe the maintenance cost will be close to zero. But if you kind of do a bad job, then you gotta pay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
No, but even if you, because this really depends. Even if you built a new house and you rent it out, then you know, depending on how you built it and who you rent it to, that's where your maintenance cost comes. We built one rental property a few years back. We haven't had any maintenance with it yet, but that's just because we had really, really nice people living in it. Right, so that really, it's just so many factors that nobody will really be able to give you a clean answer to that. Exactly, it depends how you use it.
We have a question online. They're asking if there is a site where they can read up various reviews of different trade companies like plumbers or electricians. Is there such a thing in Japan? And how easy to get access to kitchen and bath materials if you do DIY?
There is a few companies who kind of matchmakes like different companies together. Like you can basically put up an ad. I'm in need of someone who can do plumbing the 29th to 30th of May, and then people and companies will give you quotes. There are a few of those ones. I think the most popular one is called Meets More, and it's an English name of Mitsumori, I think. I think so, yeah. But there are a few of them, and there are many of them popping up as well, because I think it's a great service. I've never used them on my own, but I know they exist.
when it comes to the reviews, I would like to just add that in Japan, it's basically illegal to leave a bad review for somebody, for a business. So, yes, and you can be taken to court if you actually leave a negative review for any business. And a lot of people has been taken to court for that. You will get cease and desist. So the reviews online in Japan are actually not all that correct because a lot of people are basically scared or bullied into removing their negative reviews. Yeah, so... Yeah, so basically, yeah, everybody's happy, you know, it's all peachy. So honestly, that's why I told you, ask your friends, ask your neighbors when they were doing their work, who they used, were they happy with it. Your personal recommendations would be more valuable to you than what you find online, especially in Japan.
The agent that you've used to purchase your property or the property manager is managing your property, they're working with local professionals, and if they're not happy with them, they're not going to keep working with them. So their recommendations, obviously, I want to check if the price is reasonable, but based on quality, their recommendations should be something that you can go with.
I would say they usually get feedback.
No, I mean the ones who are still working with
you. Yeah, still, no.
From my experience, actually, usually your real estate agent will be pushing you somebody they're getting kickbacks from. Shokaisho. So, not always. It's going to be usually some local old Japanese company with a little bit, you know, flexibility, and they will not listen to you at all. I just had experience with that as well. And they will virtually not even willing to accommodate the change of color of flooring and things like that. So, yeah, it's not always that your real estate agent is on your side. Yeah. Yes.
So I don't know who to direct the question to, but earlier we were talking about the lack of financing opportunities for the lower cost Akia. What about syndication? Is that a term that you're familiar with here in Japan? And is that happening, and how easy, and how do you, what type of structure do you use for the syndicatees? Using a trust, is a trust common here in Japan, or you're using GKs?
So I can answer this based on conversations that we've had with again, administrative scriveners, the people who set up these company structures. And there are a few ways to do it. Essentially, you can all be shareholders and own an equal part of the company. It has to be a company because Japan doesn't recognize non-incorporated entities for ownership of property. So property has to be owned by individuals or by corporations. So it does have to be a company. There are other ways that could help you minimize taxes. For example, the investors might not be shareholder. There'll be one main company owner slash major shareholder, and the investors will just be lending money to the company, and then their returns from the investment will be loan repayments. That helps to save on some taxes. Another structure could be a syndication where there are multiple shareholders, but only one with a controlling vote, so that they can actually effectively run the investment portfolio rather than have to rely on 27 votes whenever they want to change an air conditioner unit. So it does exist in Japan. There are definitely ways to do it. We don't get into it because we prefer to serve people who are already knowing each other when they partner up. We don't want to be in a position where we're bringing together strangers and having to facilitate debates between them. But the structures definitely do exist. People do it. Absolutely, yeah, and set up a company together. Yep, yep. We have multiple customers who do this on a regular basis.
Does hard money lending exist here, like with liens and things, or no?
It exists, but it's not a major industry thing, not like in the States.
Because that's a big thing.
Yeah, there are people lending money to other people and companies lending money to other companies, but it's not a huge industry.
It does happen, but again, it's not mainstream. Sorry. Yes.
Their next property, Do you have some specific recommendations in terms of agencies with agents who are proficient in both English and Japanese that you could share with the audience, or otherwise specific agents which might not be under an agency?
It very much depends on the type of property. So, for example, if you're looking for an Akia, definitely that guy over there. If you're looking for pure research resources, Akia Mart is the place to go. If you're looking for some Japanese real estate agent, buyer-side agent, like we spoke about during my presentation, who will do the research for you and contact listing agents and sellers, then yes, I've got a few that I'm happy to refer you to. I'll do that privately later if you wish.
If someone finds a property on Akia Mart, what's the next steps?
Good question. So, yeah, so we like to send them to Ziv. We try to weed out people that aren't serious before we send them over to Ziv. One thing we have been trying to do recently is virtual viewings, setting up virtual viewings for clients, and then we sort of tee up more motivated buyers to Ziv as well. So that's what we've been doing.
So that question was, can you find a property near a train station with the variables on Akia Mart?
Great question. That is the most requested feature for the lifetime that I built this website. So yes, it is coming. Currently you cannot, but yes, it's coming.
This is for Tracy. Do you manage other people's Airbnbs, or if not, do you have any recommendations?
Other people's short-term rentals?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Sorry,
oh, okay.
That's my little mission. Yes, I do, if it is a right fit. I have a very specific target, very specific customer base, and if your expectations of the use of the property as well as the type of property is actually going to suit my guest that I'm bringing, then we can talk. And also, it, you know, depends on your expectations of, you know, yield, etc. So it's, yes, I do. It just depends on if it's a good fit. But there are other people who do that as well. You'll book a consultation and then, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I understand that, so please correct me if I'm wrong, that the cost to rebuild a home, pretty basic one, is around 10 million yen. That's what I heard from my real estate agent. Much higher.
Much higher, but higher.
For a house, a whole house. 15.
15 and at least. We just recently built a very simple, because it's a rental property, so rebuild of that was 15M, and it is 2 LDK plus loft, two toilets, one bathroom. You know, very, very simple because it was rental, so we didn't put in a lot of expensive equipment, but 15M. And that was 2 years ago, right before the price of wood went up and materials. So if we did 15M 2 years ago, you are probably looking at 17 right now, 17, 18.
Are there Akia that have like decent builds or good bones, or are they all kind of, they need a lot of love, or is what I'm sort of describing a unicorn?
No, it's not a unicorn at all. No, okay. You just need to know how to find them. And I mean, no. A big problem, and this is partially what Akia Mart helps out with, is if you can't, like a lot of the data just literally is not there. It does not exist. The only way to access it is to go and find it.
Yep.
And, yeah, so if you know how to do that, which is what I've built businesses off of, then you can do it. It's just that much more work, and there's other costs associated with it.
Okay.
So long as you understand what those costs are on top of the final purchase price, then you can reasonably make a decision. It's just, okay. It's not going to be as cheap as you think it is,
sure.
But so long as you're aware of those other additions, then you can do it.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yeah. I have a question. Maybe Anton might have to answer this one. Do you think it's cheaper to buy land by buying an Akia and then demolishing it so you have left just the land? Because if Akias are so cheap, it may work out cheaper than just buying available land.
Definitely. I think especially 1-2 hours outside of a major city, I think if you're looking at land, it might be... But then again, it's more work for you. Like in Japan, everything is about convenience. And if you're buying a structure that comes with land or the other way around, you need to first demolish the house. And that's why you'll probably get the house 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 million yen cheaper, including the land. Because you will be in charge of the kaitai, the demolition of the house.
Yeah.
And that costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yes.
I literally put together groups of people to go do the demo job for like beer money.
Well,
like moving, right?
Yeah.
That is definitely doable. And if I would look for land in the countryside, that's how I would look for land. I would look for land with a structure on top.
It also depends on the use case, right? Like how big. The smaller stuff can actually be surprisingly cheap. So it really depends on what you have in mind for the land, especially the strangely shaped stuff as well is particularly interesting. So, yeah, kind of like with everything, it sort of depends.
One